Wow, what a couple days, guys. What a couple days, thanks to you. Episode 127 here, and 126 is, what a beast of an episode. Easily on YouTube, my most watched video. So if you find yourself on 127 here, someone who hasn't seen 126, go ahead and watch it. Because, I usually get good numbers on audio. This was, people maybe like my little hat thing there where I was swapping the hats out to try to, make a point. Maybe people enjoyed that. But, it took less than a day to be one of my most watched videos, which I usually don't follow, too closely because, I don't want to be upset by how few of you there are out there who think I'm awesome. But this one, it was like, wow. And I didn't even have to look at YouTube. I knew there was something about it because I think when you put out a piece of good content, you notice, people start to talk about it in their stories. People start to link to it. It kind of organically catches a little bit of fire. And more importantly, there's a conversation around it. And if you're watching this, you on YouTube and you put a comment in, I'm probably going to not only hit the heart on it, even if it's criticizing me, but I'm going to reply. I'm going to put an answer in. I'm going to, reply to your comment. Even if it's, calling me a schmuck, I'm going to say, hey, why? Or, hey, you're probably right. Or, yeah, you got me. There were a lot of comments and a lot of back and forth on it. And wow, the DMs that I got in the last, 24, 36 hours from when that episode dropped, I liked it because generally speaking, the conversations that I had after that episode were, you said what I was thinking, which is what I come on here to try to do. You know what I mean? I try to come on here and let you know what I'm thinking. And the process behind that really is I figure if I'm thinking it, you are too, or some of you are. And if you're not, maybe the conversation we can have is why you're not. What are you doing differently? What are you doing that I'm not doing? What is, some of the tricks you have that are keeping you happy? Or what are the tricks that I have that are keeping me happy that you might be able to work? What are the things I'm doing? What am I leaning into? What am I leaning away from? And that episode was a lot about that. And, it's not to scare anyone. You throw a title up there, why I'm selling my card. All right. It catches you, right? It grabs you. But I tried to, at the very beginning, explain I'm not selling all my cards. I'm buying cards. I got a PSA return box right here next to me. It's not cards. It's from the type ones. Ted Williams, got a little Babe Ruth in there. These are type ones that I owned that they were not slabbed, and now they are slabbed as type ones. So pretty cool. And I'm going to try to show some stuff, in the episodes too. But we'll get to that in a second, right? Because we'll get to that. I will say 95% of the people out there were like-minded in my content. Even the people who said, I'm not selling because I don't agree that now's the time to sell, understood where the general malaise was coming from, understood the message in the content, understood the point that was trying to come across, and said that it's a good thing that it's being said. Because, and now we lead into the next jump. I wish I did like part one, part two, like Kill Bill. but or maybe do them like all out of order and stuff. That would have been cool. But the interesting part, right, is the general malaise and kind of the talk about it, because our hobby, even as much as I want to talk about comparing this couple-year cycle to my collecting in the late 80s and the boom of 89, 91, 92, 93, and just the overproduction and the companies coming in and so many companies coming in that are just not here anymore. And so many LCSs opening that had to immediately shut down within a short amount of time. And just, the explosion of card shows, the explosion of card stores, the explosion of card media, you name it. And then just the contraction that happened just as quickly, because as fast as people came in, people left. It's an interesting thing because as many correlations as I can draw, as many comparisons as I can make, there is a huge, huge, huge difference. And that is the world is smaller. The hobby's not smaller. The collecting community is not smaller. The world is smaller because of technology, right? You back then had to wait for your news for a monthly magazine, go to a show to see whether or not the cards were out there. And that was how you bought your cards. Then the internet happened, changed all that. And now we have social media. And there are companies out there that want to brand themselves as the online card show, right? Arena Club says that, you know, there are, media outlets, there are influencers, there are card stores that also want to create a constant online presence. There are breakers that if you go on IG, you can find a breaker with their page on live 24/7. They're on Twitch. They're on Fanatics Live. They're on whatnot. They're all over the place, right? And what you see there, it portrays the hobby. What you're seeing on your social, it's the hobby. So I gave this a lot of thought over the last couple of weeks. And I've done a lot of episodes on this, talking about how the hobby is not just what you see on IG. Sort of rhyme there, right? And usually those type of episodes, they come out when I have just gone to a show, where I've walked around the White Plains show with Beckett Guy and Basketball Card John and maybe Lionheart or somebody else. I walked around with my son. I watched him trade cards. I watched him buy cards and sell cards. I picked up a cool card that I remember having as a kid. I opened some wax. I met a basketball player that I used to watch play. I got an autograph. My son got an autograph. We had fun. We were involved. We were live. We were rubbing elbows in the same room with other members of the community, kind of in person. And it's a different feel. It's a different dopamine hit, if you're allowed. It's a different way of experiencing the hobby. And I think it's a much more positive way. Because the 24/7 online fun stuff, it's showing you a different hobby. It's showing you a break-heavy, sell-heavy, content heavy, distorted view of the hobby. It is. And you know whose fault it is that that's what you're getting? You know whose fault it is that that's why you're seeing? You know whose fault it is if you go on IG and you're faced with a bunch of people you don't want to hear from? It's your own fault. It's my fault. And I'll take a risk here. Some of you listening to this might think, wow, what a pompous ass this guy is. Why am I listening to him? His audio is terrible. He has Easter decorations in his backdrop. He doesn't put anything into the content itself. He just comes on here and kind of shouts and, you know, and tells a few jokes that aren't as funny as he thinks they are. Why am I listening to this jerk off? If that's what you think, well, thanks for still tuning in. And let's talk. Don't leave me. But you should unfollow me. You should unsubscribe, because the hobby, especially with it being social and IG and Facebook and you name it, now more than ever, your hobby experience is created by you. When you go on IG, if you're smacked in the face with four content creators who are making content that is not what you want to see, then you find yourself frustrated and angered by it. And you find yourself watching this guy's content and you're like, what the heck is this guy talking about? Why am I watching this? He's dead wrong and clearly trying to sell me something. Why am I watching this about repacks? Why am I seeing this about this? Why am I blah, 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 blah? And one night, it was after I had some dinner. I was thinking about smoking a cigar, but I didn't. I think I had just taken a nice swig off the baby bottle. Little 2-liter Coke Zero. I think I was reading some articles. And I said, you know what? My last hour on Hobby IG was misery. The folks that I were watching, I kept, why is this on? Why is this on my feed? Why is this on my feed? I don't understand algorithms. Guys, I can't even do math. I don't even care, right? I'm an old man. I don't know how this stuff works. Somebody asked me today why I don't just buy my way to 10,000 followers. I said, I don't even know how to do that. I mean, is there like a button somewhere? You like click and it says by file. I don't know how to do it. I have no idea. What's the difference between 6,400 and 10,000? Do I get an award? You know, do I get some money? Does somebody send me a cookie? I like Crumble. I found those recently. They're pretty damn good. I'm fat as you wouldn't believe. Damn Crumble. It's your fault. It's your fault. Anyway, they're good cookies in case anybody wanted to know. So I said, I got to stop following some of these people. So I unfollowed you. No, I don't block anybody. Nobody. But this was a first for me. I rarely, if I'm following somebody, there's a reason for it, you know? It's somebody who, you know, was putting out something that I thought was useful. It was somebody who was, you know, adding some value to my hobby experience. But I'm going to tell you, I logged on today. The experience was a little bit better. It was a little bit better. Not fully there. Just like a new haircut, you know, you got to take a little off the side still. It's not perfect. You know, you got to go back in with the scissor. You know, you got to clean it back up. Shave a little. I'm still in that phase. And I went in today and I cleaned it up a little bit more. And I found a couple of other guys who I don't remember the last time I watched content from them. And I was like, that's good stuff. Or wow, I'm glad I watched that. Instead, I feel angered when I watch their stuff. I don't know why. Well, I do know why, but it is what it is. And now I don't follow them anymore. I am taking back my hobby. Think about that. If the hobby experience, for the most part, for most of us, is dictated by what we see on our phone, it's up to us to control what we see. Now, let's not go too far, okay? One of the worst things you can do in this world, hobby and outside, is be somebody who's in an echo chamber. You don't want to just be in a space where everybody thinks exactly like you, because you can't broaden your horizons that way. So I'm not unfollowing people who have a different point of view from me. That's not the goal of this exercise. I didn't unfollow AIH. We disagree on probably way more than we agree. But I like watching his stuff because it makes me think. Sports Car Radio, not so big on IG. I wish they would follow me. That would be pretty fun. They don't. But they have a different way of doing things. I'm going to follow them. I'm going to watch their content. You know, the meme accounts. I don't agree with all the memes they post. I mean, I might come up with a meme every now and again that's a little, you know, beyond the line for me, and I might send it to them to use. I think that's fun. That's a different type of thing. I think if you were to ask me sort of where my, you know, where the changes, just the in-your-face stuff. And it's not everybody. It's just some of them. And I think you know who they are. And the interesting part I found is, and it's not that many, also let me make sure that's clear, at least not yet. A lot of these people, the stuff that they're doing now is very different than what they were doing when they came on the scene. One of the greatest compliments that I got over DM in the last 24 hours from a longtime listener is they told me that even though this episode was different, I was the same. And that I was still doing the same thing as I was in the first episodes of Luca, Tiger, LeBron. Now, I like to think I grew a little from that, especially with all these cookies I'm eating. But that's a compliment. That's a little continuity, right? It's you know, I just try to be me. So I shouldn't change. Right? I shouldn't be trying to get you to do something, right? It should be more of, here's what I'm doing, right? And maybe it's something you might think is fun, something you might be able to learn from, something you might be able to, you know, take advantage of yourself. That's all, you know, and it was, hey, look, you got all kinds of messages. I mean, I'm not coming on here and telling you to sell your cards. I had one big card sale this weekend that I didn't think I was going to sell. I'm also not coming on here telling you to start unfollowing people. I'm telling you why I did it. I'm telling you why I sold a card and will probably sell some more. Why I unfollowed people and will probably unfollow some more. All right? Now, that's 15 minutes. And one of the other comments that I got is, hey, curmudgeon Cage, or, you know, Cage is dark now. You know, like, I said, thank you for that. I appreciate that because, you know, it hasn't been that long since I got back from Aruba. So I am looking a little tan. No, that's not what they mean. You know, what they mean, of course, is, you know, hey, come on. Like, I own a business in this hobby. What are you doing to me, man? You know, why are you doing this? What's your problem? You got to be positive. Where's the positive, Cage? Trust me, there's time for positive. I love positive. Look here. You guys might have seen some of these if you're, you know, just got these back. I slabbed them off. Remember Babe Ruth in his L.A. uniform? From a movie, right? This is from, you know, from The Babe Comes Home. It's type one. New was a type one. Now it's slabbed up and pretty awesome and a cool piece and didn't cost me a ton of money. Ted Williams playing baseball in his Navy baseball team uniform in 1944 when he took a break from the Red Sox to play with the Navy. Like, these are cool things. And this cost me hundreds of dollars. All in with the slab, shipping, you name it, the whole, this was not the most expensive thing in the world. I think it's awesome. I think it's cool. And I'm not going to think about selling it because why the hell would I? And that's what I'm focusing on. And I want to show off more stuff like that, right? Because I talked about wanting to be sort of like somebody who holds a piece of history, right? Like, that's kind of where I want to be with my cards. Something that has some meaning to it, something that tells a story, something that's fun, but also something that might not break the damn bank, right? So I'm going to show you a card that I own. A lot of you won't buy it. A lot of you don't care about it, but I'm going to show because to me, I think for the few people out there who, you know, who think I need to balance out some of the curmudgeon Cage and the dark Cage and the why am I selling, why am I following with something positive, this is about as positive as I get. Check this out. Look at that picture of Babe Ruth there. That's pretty awesome, right? That's Babe Ruth, 1929. You know, he's doing his thing here. I mean, this was a couple years removed from 1927, Murderer's Row. It's got some nice corners on it. But you can notice I put it by my head here. It's a slightly bigger slab. It's a little bigger. It's not fully postcard size, maybe index card size. But maybe, you know, an extra half an inch on the side here, maybe an extra 3/4 inch, maybe a full inch. 1929 R316 Cashin Publications, Babe Ruth. This is a PSA 2. I think it's a nice 2. You know, if Kurt lived next door to me, I could probably get him to turn it into a 7 because, as you can see, it was probably stuck to something. It's got some glue on the back there, which I'm sure would come off pretty easily, but I do not give a shit. I think this is cool. And this did not even cost me $1,000, right? I think there's one on eBay right now. I'm really going to... There's a lot on eBay, but there's one for sale, like ending in a couple of days. Not mine. That's, you know, in the hundreds. This is an almost 100-year-old Babe Ruth card. I know, you know, we can talk about whether it's a card. It's a little slightly oversized, but still fits in your hand. PSA slab, you name it, the whole deal. And to me, you know what that was cool for? My son did, you know, like hobbies, and he did like baseball card collecting. And maybe it was stupid of me. I have two of them. I let him take it to school with him. And he was the kid who brought a Babe Ruth card to school. And his teacher messaged me and was like, what are you doing? Did he steal this? Like, did he take it out of the closet? And I'm like, no, it's fine. It's, believe it or not, it costs way less than my Alperin Sengun card. It costs way less than like a Jordan Love. It costs way, way less than, you know, most of the rookies coming out now. I mean, the Thompson twins got cards that are 10 times this. And she wrote back, who the hell are the Thompson Quins? And what's this Alperin Sengun? And should I know who Jordan Love is? Think about that for a second. Think about that when you're going through your own collection. The teacher knew who this was. The kids all knew who this was. And the teacher thought it was so valuable that she had to write home to make sure that it was okay that my son had this. Think she knows who Alperen Sengun is? You think the kids would have cared if I sent in my son with a true RPA? Slash, you think they would have known if it was really a true RPA? An episode for another day. And that's why I unfollowed you. I hope you enjoyed this one, guys. Maybe I'll bring some stuff out, you know, just fun stuff from the basement you've all heard so much about. And we'll try to counterbalance, you know, the current cage blinders about my hobby experience and fun, with some fun stuff. So you guys know what I have, what I'm collecting, what I'm hanging on to, and the like. I got to tell you, it's Wednesday. I could already do another news episode for the news that came out this week. If you haven't seen it yet, you are living in a cave because everybody does little face to camera things about it. So go ahead and hop on Instagram and maybe you'll find somebody to unfollow. That's 127 of these. I love every single one of you guys. Thanks for sharing this stuff. Thanks for posting it in your stories. Thanks for telling people about these episodes. I really do appreciate it. I'm not making any money off of anybody this year. Right now, no one's paying. People are trying. Maybe we'll get there. And I'm not saying it's bad to take money off anybody, but I haven't made a dollar in the hobby this entire 2024. I'm still coming on here and doing this stuff. You paid me for the whole year with the way that everyone reacted to 126. I don't expect that type of reaction all the time, but it really was nice to have that type of, you know, outpouring of people sharing it, people, you know, commenting on it and telling me what a great episode it was. I got text messages from people, you know, a lot of DMs. And, you know, that Andrew used to say, you know, thanks for your comments. Thanks for your sharing. It's our oxygen. It's what keeps us going. And I used to laugh at that. I used to think that was kind of corny, but it's true. So thank you, guys. I appreciate you. Talk to you soon.